Dreams are weird. I'm not like the weird quasi-psychedelic Inception-style sleep dreams, but have you ever thought about that we have these desires, these wishes, these hopes, these dreams of who we want to be and what we want to do? And they're so personal that sometimes to share them is vulnerable, and there can be shame involved with sharing your dreams to someone. It's just weird to think about that. This passion that might drive your entire self, we can also be so afraid to share with others. I don't know if this makes any sense. I just thought it was interesting. It's probably too heavy of a way to start out the podcast. I guess sometimes you have simpler dreams, like wishing that Skype would work when you try to make a call with it.
Hey.
Hey, Morgan, this is Andrew. I'm just waiting for Brooks here. Oops. Sorry, I accidentally put you on hold there.
That's all right.
Skype is so weird.
Brooks?
This went on for a while. Hello?
Hello?
Brooks, are you on?
Are you there, Brooks?
I see him. It looks like he's connected, but I can't hear anything.
I can't hear him either. I don't know if your mic's on.
I think he hung up.
He's just in the other room. I don't know what's going on.
Oh.
Okay, here we are.
Hey.
Yay.
Yeah. We're doing it.
It's all happening.
Welcome to the CISO C Show. I'm Andrew Steven. Yes, we finally got it working. This has been a great podcast so far. First, I talk about something esoteric and needlessly deep at the top, and then I play you a clip of Skype not working. How do you get a podcast Emmy? Anyway, the two people that I finally connected with were
Morgan Waters. And I'm an actor, writer, guy, man, full grown man.
Brooks?
I'm Brooks Gray.
And the two of them are co-creators of the CISO show, The Amazing Gale Pile. If you haven't yet got a chance to see the show, first, go watch it. But second of all, just to fill you in a little bit, it's sort of a behind the scenes of a small town, local Canadian home shopping network.
Boots, boots, boots. Everywhere you look, boots. Hi, I'm Gail Pyle, and welcome to the Ladies Power Hour. I'm joined with Marjorie here, and she's going to be telling us about boots.
But even that description doesn't quite do it justice. There's this whole power struggle where Gail Jr., who you just heard, tries to live up to the memory of his mother, Gail Sr., and there's this dark, twisted... It's almost like if David Lynch created 30 Rock, and instead of being behind the scenes of a comedy show, it's behind the scenes of a shopping show. And while that may seem like a weird setting for a TV show, it also strangely makes sense. I mean, we've all fallen down the vortex of watching too much Shopping Channel, or I remember growing up on Saturday morning when the cartoons ended, I would watch infomercials and would enjoy it. There's this weird fascination with these people, with these characters, and perhaps subconsciously there was always part of me that wondered what was happening when the cameras weren't rolling.
And I guess we've always been obsessed with watching bad TV.
Yeah, Morgan and I were sort of going back and forth on ideas for like a new show, and both of us have a soft spot for shopping on television, anything like the infomercial world, but also like with shopping TV, remember that it's live and it's one of the few forms of live television, so a lot of really terrible things happen on it all the time. And it's also just funny to hear people go on and on about towels for an hour.
Yeah, you just imagine when you're watching these people when you're stoned on the couch, just watching this, like, everyone's so friendly and normal seeming, and you just wonder, like, God, that's got to be masking some inner darkness.
I feel like Charlie Rose or something, because this has taken such a serious tone for such a non-serious show.
I think we're both into being super emotional. we're like emo comedians. No, but you know, I think character and emotion is sort of number one. And when you blow something way out of proportion, when something with not very high stakes is being presented as if it's, you know, the biggest deal in the world, that's really funny. So, you know, the show gets like art film. Sometimes it's like acts as if it's like Magnolia or something, where it's like, this is biblical. And I think the more you try to pretend things are normal and that everything's nice and pleasant, probably the more messed up you are on the inside.
Yeah.
I think is sort of an ethos to this show. You know, these characters are all pleasant and boring and are just aiming to be boring and normal mm-hmm. on air. But behind the scenes, they're like animals trapped in cages, basically. You know, they're in purgatory and, you know, they're just trying to claw their way out.
And Gail's sort of a special case in that the character was sort of what's central to the character is that his mother was a home shopping host for years. And then that's all he knows. It's like he's sort of this sheltered child and his entire worldview is filtered through, you know, selling products on television. And he kind of grew up alongside of her and was her kind of on-air sidekick. And then she died and the station manager, you know, he ended up just inheriting her time slot, basically. And so he's this sort of arrested development, you know, man child who now, just because he knows no other way of life, finds himself a host on a shopping channel, a third rate shopping channel.
And his dream, there it is. That's how we tie in the cold open. Didn't think it was going to happen, did you? Thought I was just talking about dreams for no reason. Well, I had a plan. You might even say I had a dream. A dream not too dissimilar from Gail's. Well, actually, it's very different from Gail's. But, you know, Gail's whole driving force and his dream to do right by his mom, to be as successful, to perhaps even surpass the success that she had on her show, and to restore the station to its former, if not future, glory, or at least the glory that he perceives it should have. But he's struggling.
He's in this sort of slow motion existential crisis. He doesn't really know what to do with himself, but he has no other point of reference. So as Morgan says, he's basically trapped in a purgatory. He's completely like, he doesn't know how to get out. He doesn't know what life is like outside of it until he meets J.D. Castlemaine, who sort of gives him a taste of the wild side.
And he's J.D. Castlemaine is like a cool Australian beauty expert, highly sexual. He's a sex addict. He's omnisexual. And, you know, really just takes him on a ride.
J.D. Castlemaine is a world-renowned beauty expert and the genius behind
Bum and Thigh Cellulite Remover, Turbo Grip Hairspray, Bushwhackers, Ultra Absorbent Tampons.
Come on,
give one more bottle!
Yeah.
And that's a sellout!
I don't trust him, Gail. I think he has a drinking problem.
Did somebody say drinking problem?
Where's that bloody box of wine?
I had a sip of the boxed wine and it tasted good. I liked it.
Very nice.
Funky?
Very funky indeed.
If a show is nothing else, it's important as hell. Very important.
So I'd love to get a little bit of history of maybe how the two of you came together and sort of the birth of the concept for Amazing Gail Pyle.
I guess I had a show on the national broadcaster in Canada, CBC. It was called The Morgan Waters Show. It was like a messed up kind of stonery sketch show for kids after school. And Brooks came on as a producer on that. And yeah, I guess I first saw his stuff because he had an online sketch thing called Skit Faced that he was a part of with Andy, who plays J.D. Castlemaine, the Australian, and Leo, who plays Darren Shent. So those guys were kind of like a cool team, and they made insane videos, sort of early internet. And we started working together on my show. And then we did a show called Cocked Guns Together, which was a Canadian mockumentary about a terrible rock band. And Yeah, so we did a full series of that, and then a little later on, we came up with the idea for the Amazing Gale Pile.
Well, we originally we made a demo. We basically made like a five or seven minute short with the characters that we used kind of as a sales tool to shop it around. There's something in Canada called the Independent Production Fund. It's like basically they give you an equity investment for a small amount to do. They used to actually invest in pilots, television pilots from independent producers, and they shifted to doing web series a few years ago. So the first season was entirely financed by the IPF. And so that's, we made the first season, and basically we wanted to release it on YouTube because we other than that, we would have just been releasing it independently on our own channel.
Mm-hmm. And Nathan Fielder is from Toronto. And so I sort of sent it to him and I was like, do you know anyone from Jash?
Jash is the company started by Sarah Silverman, Tim and Eric, Michael Cera, Reggie Watts. And they do a bunch of web series and original content and stuff like that.
They were into it. And so we made it not knowing if it would get anywhere, and then it got on Jash, which was really wicked.
It was important for us to find the right spot, and it was great. It was a huge compliment going on Jash, because as far as I know, everything they had on their channel was they had produced themselves, like the sort of Jash family, and we were the first show that had been produced completely independently of them that they're like, yeah, we love it, we'll put it on our channel. So we were thrilled, and then from there lots of different people saw it, and yeah, we ended up making another season with the IPF, and then we did a third season with CISO, and CISO bought all three seasons, two of which hadn't been seen. Second season hadn't been seen or released, and then the third we just finished earlier this year, and just released all three.
Was there something about web series or digital or on demand that drew you to this, or was it rather, you just wanted to create these characters in this world, and if it was on broadcast, cable, or digital, it didn't really matter as long as it got out there.
I think, you know, we definitely made it knowing it was not going to be on TV. It was going to be a web series, so we just wanted to make it basically as messed up as, you know, we didn't want to hold anything back. So it's certainly a pedal to the metal in terms of just fucking craziness.
Well put, Morgan. Very well
Thanks.
Put.
Thanks. Thank you. Thank you.
I guess when the first series came out, Morgan and I, you know, the show when it was on Jash, some people had seen it, and we went to LA and met with various producers and stuff, and we actually went our first meeting. It was quite surreal for me, because we went to what we thought was the Abominable Pictures office, but it actually ended up being the set of Children's Hospital. And like Rob Corddry was walking around with the clown makeup on, and like, I'm a huge fan of the show, and I basically was like, this is insane that we're here. And we met with John Stern and Becca Kinski and Paul Scheer, who all really liked the show and wanted to meet with us. And we sort of developed a relationship with them. And they all became executive producers on the third season. Paul Scheer, we asked him to do a guest spot in the second season.
Paul Scheer plays the head of the Asexual Association of America. And Gail has just discovered, he knew he wasn't into penises or vaginas, but he didn't know there was a name for it. So he's just discovered this asexual community, and he's sort of blossoming, and he's been taken under Paul Scheer's wing to be the new promoter of asexual products. Yeah. So that's where Paul Scheer comes in. And then, you know, we've got, like, because Gail's now the spokesperson for the Asexual Association of America, he's got a bunch of money, so he's got this cool new digital condo. It's like this condo that speaks to him. It's like, you know, an 80s version of the future. And the condo's voice is John Hamm, which is insane.
Yeah, truly, truly insane. That was obviously the biggest name that we got. And we were thrilled to the point of like it almost being surreal that it happened.
Then we also have John Daly of Kroll Show and a ton of stuff, who's just brilliant. Playing Paul Scheer's asexual heteroromantic life partner.
And then there's June Day and Raphael and Jack
McBrayer.
That's right.
Yep. They played the hosts of the Houston Home Shopping Channel. And they were brilliant. And Rich Fulcher, this was a big one for me, from The Mighty Boosh and Snuffbox. And he's just the best. He plays a security guard, and he's just, you never know what he's going to say.
We also had Esther Bavitsky on the show in a guest role, and she's an amazing comedian. And she played, I think the role was Jenny, but she was with the scenes with Rich Fulcher as well. The great Scott Thompson had a guest appearance on the show. Scott Thompson of Kids in the Hall, who is, I think I can speak for Morgan, I say he's a hero of both of ours, Canadian legend in comedy. And like his role on the show is truly hilarious.
Oh my god.
And it was a thrill. It was an absolute thrill personally to get to work with him.
Who are we thinking for Gail's dad? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sean Penn.
Yeah. Definitely. Basically definitely every single like A-list actor of all time to be.
And everyone at the Shop at Home channel is a special guest in their own way.
All the people on air that Gail is co-hosting with think they're on a real home shopping channel. So we're basically lying to these people and saying that they're on a real home shopping channel and that Gail Pyle is a real person.
It's under the pretense that they're doing real home shopping.
How have people reacted, or do you ever tell them that it's not real?
We'll tell them at the end off camera. You know, the important thing to us was getting it to feel natural. And if it just felt like two comedians sort of riffing about towels, it's not as much fun as a real housewife talking about a towel with a fictional character. People will give real performances when they don't know they're performing.
Mm-hmm. Did they, were any of them offended or like asked not to be included?
Yeah.
I mean, for the most, we've had one or two that were not that pleased. And I don't think we've ever used anyone who was really upset about it, like, or didn't like that we had done it. Cause it kind of was like, well, most people are like, they're actually, once they've been put through the ringer and having to deal with Gail, and they realize that it's a comedy show, they're kind of pleasantly surprised, because at the end, like what they originally thought, that they were on like the world's most low rent, terrible, you know, shopping channel, where it's actually kind of a fun surprise to find out that in fact it's a comedy show, you know? But yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of cases where it's gotten a little dicey for sure.
It's like the people that, because Brooks and I have done lots of hidden camera stuff before on different shows. It's always the people whose time you waste for the longest, they get the most upset. You know, it's not like we were really being cruel to anyone. It's just, you just break people down over in like an hour and a half of talking about towels. By the end, people are just like, get me the fuck out of here.
But it's also, I mean, one key thing that you probably picked up on the show. Sure, there's like, yeah, Gail and the real person talk about towels. But what's really interesting to me is when Gail starts kind of ranting and raving about his own problems in his life, and then suddenly you have this real person telling him or giving him advice or trying to like
comfort him, or
move the conversation off of that or whatever. And we try to integrate that into the plot or at least make it feel like, you know, especially in season three, there's a lot more characters watching other characters with real people on monitors and on screens. And we're trying to like really blend. So it's not just a separate element of the show. It's not just some gimmick that we just slap in there. It's actually, we're trying to make it as seamless as possible to blur the lines between, oh, these real people and this real world stuff and these fictional characters we've created.
And it's fun when, you know, like in season two, Gail's complaining about JD leaving his bloody penis bandages everywhere. And when I'm saying that to a real person and they're not, they're just trying to pleasantly get through it and ignore what I've just said. It's really funny to watch that happen.
Well, and it does bring a realness, like you mentioned, because, you know, so much of the show is so heightened reality that it does ground it in something.
Yeah, well, and exactly. that same woman, she actually later in the segment and later in the episode is genuinely trying to give Gale advice about what he needs to do with his life and the things that he should prioritize and important. And that's actually that's one of my favorite episodes because there's like a real almost like she's really giving the character advice that he should in fact follow and isn't. And it's great to have like a rational, real person giving that character advice that he's clearly not following, because Gale, that is what you should be doing. That is how you should think about your life. And you can't really, it's just a strange, and that's just, we didn't know she was going to do that. But so you're always rolling the dice a little bit when you're using real people in that situation. But sometimes you get something that you can't even anticipate getting, or you couldn't even hope for. It's just, it works out because of their personality is just become something that's so interesting.
$12.62 for one of these, okay?
$12.62?
Exactly.
We were selling them cheaper before.
Oh, yes.
So I guess the price has gone up?
Yes, the price has gone up. They've been...
I guess the budget isn't going so well with the station, so we got to jack up the prices to be able to pay for a certain host's wage. We have this host here. Her name is Renee, and she has been sucking up all the resources and all the money to pay for her fancy sets. Meanwhile, my show is on the brink of collapse.
The lady's power hour is basically out of the budget at this point. You know what I mean?
You know, we all have times in our life where you start feeling like, where am I going?
What am I doing? What am I doing? Who am I? Mm-hmm. Do I have
a
soul?
One little thing that just switches it all around. And you gotta find that thing.
Darling danglers. Because everyone's life could use a little sprucing up.
Yeah, we had a guy in this most recent season. JD's doing an on-air bit, and they're with this older guy, and they're selling potato peelers. And then he starts talking about his time... What, in the Army or what was it?
In the Air Force.
In the Air Force, peeling potatoes. And then JD's like, oh, were you part of any bombing raids? And then he lets on that he was a suicide, like, prevention officer. Is that what it was, Brooks? So he starts talking about this super heavy, dark stuff that's real. And it's just like, I can't believe this is happening. Like, this guy... thinks he's on home shopping, but then he's talking about how many suicides he prevented.
That's our show this week. Thanks so much for listening. This music playing right now and some of the other music in the episode is by the band Weaves, and it's actually a band that Morgan is in.
We're on tour. Come look us up on the net. Come see us. You know, it's I bring my Gale Pyle spirit to the guitar.
And really great too.
Thanks.
Brooks turned me on the other day, and I enjoyed listening to it. So. And be sure to subscribe to CISO so you can see this fantastic, amazing Gale Pyle show that they've created.
Go watch the amazing Gale Pyle. That's the only thing I want to plug.
I, like, honestly think it's the best thing in the world, so please watch it.
And if you like this show, we'd love to hear from you. You can tweet us at CISO Show, that's S-E-E-S-O Show, or myself at Andrew Steven, A-N-D-R-E-W-S-T-E-V-E-N. Love to hear what you think of the show. Any ideas or future guests you'd love to hear. And I hope you're enjoying listening to this show as much as I have creating it. Bye.